as mais 20 de vene maha namana vishkicham nam chaiva chodrutmam evim sarasatim vyasam tatojanam dhire om namo bhagavate vasudevaya
om namo bhagavate vasudevaya
om namo bhagavate vasudevaya
om namo bhagavate vasudevaya
Kiratta Anandra Kulinda Pulkisha Abhira Sumbhaya Vanahakaya Sandhaya
Abhira Sumbhaya Vanahakasara
Yenye Champapaya Kapasraya Shraya
Abhira Sumbhaya Vanahakasara
Sundyanti Tajmai Prabhu Vishnave Namaha
Sundyanti Tajmai Prabhu Vishnave Namaha
Kirakta Unandra Kulinda Kulkisha
Kirakta Unandra Kulinda Kulkisha
Abhira Sumbhaya Vanahakasaraya
Abhira Sumbhaya Vanahakasaraya
Yenye Champapaya Vipasraya Shraya
Yenye Champapaya Vipasraya Shraya
Sudyanti Tajmai Prabhu Vishnave Namaha
Sudyanti Tajmai Prabhu Vishnave Namaha
Kirakta Unandra Kulinda Kulkisha Abhira Sumbhaya Vanahakasaraya
Abhira Sumbhaya Vanahakasaraya
Yenye Champapaya Vipasraya Shraya
Yenye Champapaya Vipasraya Shraya
Sunyanti Tajmai Prabhu Vishnave Namaha
Sunyanti Tajmai Prabhu Vishnave Namaha Kirata Hundara Kulinda Pukasa Abhira Sumbhaya Vanahakasaraya Yenye Champapaya Vipasraya Shraya Sudyanti Tajmai Prabhu Vishnave Namaha
Kirata Hunandra Kulinda Pulkasha
Kirata Hunandra Kulinda Pulkasha
Abhira Sumbhaya Vanahakasaraya
Abhira Sumbhaya Vanahakasaraya Champapaya Vipasraya Shraya
Sudyanti Tajmai Prabhu Vishnave Namaha
Sudyanti Tajmai Prabhu Vishnave Namaha
Kirata Hunandra Kulinda
Pulkasha
Abhira
Sumbhaya Vanahakasaraya
Can you see that from there?
Kirata,
a province of old Bharat.
A province of old
Punya.
Punya.
Part of Germany in Russia.
Part of Germany in Russia.
Andhra.
Andhra.
A province of southern India.
Province of southern India.
Kulinda.
Kulinda.
The Greeks.
Greeks.
Pukasha.
Pukasha.
Another province.
Another province.
Abira.
Abira.
Part of Odzin. Shumba.
Shumba.
Another province.
Another province.
Yavana.
Yavana.
The Turks.
The Turks.
Kasha Adaya.
Kasha Adaya.
A Mongolian province.
A Mongolian province.
Ye.
Ye.
Even those.
Even those.
And ye.
And ye.
Others.
Others.
Cha.
Cha.
Also.
Also.
Tabaha.
Baha.
Addicted to simple acts.
Addicted to simple acts.
Yat.
Yat.
Whose?
Whose?
Apasraya Ashraya.
Apasraya Ashraya.
Having taken shelter of the devotees of the Lord.
Having taken shelter of the devotees of the Lord.
Shudyanti.
Shudyanti.
At once purified.
At once purified.
As mine.
As mine.
Unto him.
Unto him.
Pabhavishnade.
Pabhavishnade.
Unto the powerful Vishnu.
Unto the powerful Vishnu.
Namaha.
Namaha.
My respectful obeisance.
My respectful obeisance.
Kirata, Andhra, Kulinda, Ukasha, Amira, Shumba, Yavana. Members of the caste races and even others addicted to sinful acts can be purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord. Due to his being the supreme power, that his is with a capital H for the devotees of the Lord, due to his, meaning the Lord, being the supreme power, I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Report by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Kirata, a province of old Bharatvarsha mentioned in the Vishnu Pava of Mahabharata. Generally, the Kiratas are known as the Aboriginal tribes of India and in modern days the Santali Parthenas in Bihar and Chotanagpur might comprise the old province named Kirata. Hunna. The area of East Germany and part of Russia is known as the province of the Hunnas. Accordingly, sometimes a kind of hill tribe is known as the Hunnas. So, maybe the word the Hunnas, the Huns. That's what the Satanese say, it's the Huns. First and same people. Andhra, a province in southern India mentioned in the Vishnu Pava of Mahabharata, it is still existent under the same name. Kulinda is mentioned in the Mahabharata, Adipava, 174-38. The inhabitants of the province of the name Kulinda. This country was conquered by Vishnu Sen, Bhimasen, and Sahadev. So it was conquered by Bhimasen and Sahadev. The Greeks are known as Kulindas. And it is mentioned in the Vanapava of the Mahabharata that the non-Vedic race of this part of the world will rule over the world. This Kulinda province was also one of the provinces of Bharat, and the inhabitants were classified among the Kshatriya kings. But later on, due to their giving up the Brahminical culture, they were mentioned as Malechas, just as those who are not followers of the Islamic culture are called Kafirs, and those who are not followers of the Christian culture are called heathens. So here, they were classified amongst the Kshatriya kings. Kshatriya kings means, Vedic followers of the Vedas at that time. But later on, they giving up their Brahminical culture, they were mentioned as Malechas. So this place was conquered by Bhimasen and Sahadev. We see in the, ultimately Maharaj Yudhishthira became the emperor of the whole world, the seven continents, particularly mentions the seven continents surrounded by the different oceans. Sometimes you hear that a Hindu sannyasi or sadhu should not cross the ocean. That they're fallen if they do. I heard actually the other day Srila Prabhupada was saying
you know, it's a so-called Hindu monk. It's there, it's there in some way, but it's, and I was actually just speaking with someone yesterday, and about this point, when the guests had come to the ceremony, he said, oh yeah, no, yeah, they did do that, that was the Sanatana Dharma followed that. And I said, well, Vedic culture is Sanatana Dharma. And he said, oh. So, you know, he was referring to Sanatana Dharma as like a, you know, as a little band of, you know, people who follow that sort of thing. You know, so, you know, there's a whole lot of funny misconceptions, but anyway, we see how, you know, vastly spread the Vedic culture was. It covered the whole world. Abhira. This name also appears in the Mahabharata, both in the Sabapada and Vishnupada. It is mentioned that this province was situated on the river Sarasvati in Sindh. So that's at the northwest, right? The modern Sindh province formerly extended on the other side of the Arabian Sea, and all the inhabitants of that province were known as the Abhiras. So, you know, that it extended, you know, from that Sindh, which is that upper northwestern corner, you know, down to Arabia, which would be, you know, on the other side of the Arabian Sea. They were under the domination of Maharaj Yudhisthira, and according to the statements of Markandeya, the Milechas of this part of the world were also ruled over Bharat. Later on, this proved to be true, as in the case of the Palindas. On behalf of the Palindas, Alexander the Great conquered India, and on behalf of the Abhiras, Muhammad Ghori conquered India. So these Abhiras were formerly Kshatriyas within the Brahminical culture, so that was, but they gave up the connection. The Kshatriyas were afraid of Parashuram and had hidden themselves in the Caucasian hilly regions. Later became known as the Abhiras, and the place they inhabited was known as Abhiradesh. Shumbas and Kankas. The inhabitants of the Kanka province of old Bharat mentioned in the Mahabharata. Yavanas. The Yavana was the name of one of the sons of Maharaj Jayati, who was given the part of the world known as Turkey to rule. Therefore, the Turks are Yavanas due to being descendants of Maharaj Yavana. The Yavanas, so first, you know, says here, the Yavana was the name of one of the sons of Maharaj Jayati. Maharaj Yavana, his descendants, they're known as Yavanas. The Yavanas were therefore Kshatriyas, and later on, by giving up the Brahminical culture, they became Milecha Yavanas. Descriptions of the Yavanas were in the Mahabharata. Another prince called Tiruvasu was also known as Yavana, and his country was conquered by Sahadev, one of the Pandavas. The Western Yavana joined with Duryodhan in the Battle of Kurukshetra under the pressure of Karna. It is also foretold that these Yavanas would also conquer India, and it proved to be true. We know that Dhritarashtra's wife, Gandhari, was, I think it was from Afghanistan, because, you know, from Kandahar comes Kandahar. So she was the princess of the royal family from Kandahar. So, you know, Duryodhana had some allies, I think. Kasha, the inhabitants of the Kasha Desha mentioned in the Mahabharata, Dronapava, those who have stunted growth of hair on the upper lip are generally called Kasas. As such, the Kasa are the Mongolians, the Chinese, and others who are so designated. So, you know, we see how far and wide it extended the whole world. Of course, you know, Australia
didn't get a mention here, but you know, so you know, sort of down the bottom of the list, but we're in there somewhere. But you know, it is mentioning, you know, some of the main you know, parts that and their, you know, rule under Maharaj Yudhisthira, you know, really encompassed the whole world. Just like it's described in Maharaj Yudhisthira, he went to and the Pandavas, they went to the northern side, and Srila Prabhupada says, he says his suggestion is that that is the Arctic. We generally think of it as the Himalayas, but he says it's the Arctic because it mentions that it was bordered by the sea, you know, on different sides. So it's describing the land which is bordered by the sea, which is actually the Arctic. So he was saying they actually, you know, went way north. The above mentioned, just like, you know, Srila Prabhupada sometimes would suggest, he said, he's suggesting what we call an educated guess. But Srila Prabhupada's suggestion is based upon this. It's not quite stated, but there are so many Shastric evidences pointing to it that if you join the dots, that's what's being stated. Similarly, you know, Prabhupada said that you know, Ravana, he was mining gold, and just from a country that was on the other side of the globe, and so if you look to the other side of the globe, you find Brazil, I think it is. So he was, he suggested that, you know, he had one brother or something there, and they were mining gold from there, because Sri Lanka, his brother's capital, was basically made of gold. He was getting his gold from somewhere. So he suggested that there was some subterranean otherwise. So, but there are different references, you know, there are different references by which Srila Prabhupada, you know, made their statements. So the above mentioned historical names are different nations of the world. Even those who are constantly engaged in sinful acts are all corrigible to the standard of perfect human beings if they take shelter of the devotees of the Lord. So, of course, this is the essence of the sloka, and the essence of Srila Prabhupada's purport. That even people from all different parts of the world, even those who are constantly engaged in sinful acts, are all corrigible, they're all able to be brought to the standard, encouraged in that direction, the standard of perfect human beings if they take shelter of the devotees of the Lord. Jesus Christ and Muhammad, two powerful devotees of the Lord, have done tremendous service on behalf of the Lord and the service of the globe. And from the version of Srila Sukadeva Goswami, it appears that instead of running a godless civilization in the pretext of the world situation, if the leadership of the world affairs is entrusted to the devotees of the Lord, for which a worldwide organization under the name and style of the International Society of Krishna Consciousness has already been started, then by the grace of the Almighty Lord, there can be a thorough change of heart in the human beings all over the world, because the devotees of the Lord are able authorities to effect such a change by purifying the dust-worn minds of the people in general. So Srila Prabhupada is actually saying that actually ISKCON should lead all the leaders of the world. So he puts it in a, you know, a way that's not too confronting, but you know, if you look at that sentence, you know, he's saying they needed a society like the International Society of Krishna Consciousness to lead the leaders. And that society is already here. So, put one together. The puppet, now, of course, Prabhupada, you know, and
anticipating the anxiety of the leaders of the world reading the Prabhupada's books. He puts them at ease in the next sentence. The politicians of the world may remain in their respective positions. And because the pure devotees of the Lord are not interested in political leadership or diplomatic implications. They're not taking their job. Keep your job. Keep your salary. Just take guidance from devotees. The devotees are interested only in seeing that the people in general are not misguided by political propaganda and in seeing that the valuable life of a human being is not spoiled in following a type of civilization which is ultimately doomed. If the politicians, therefore, would be guided by the good counsel of the devotees, then certainly there would be a great change in the world situation by the purifying propaganda of the devotees as shown by Lord Chaitanya. As Sukadeva Goswami began, so here Srila Prabhupada is also saying, not anyone who calls himself a devotee, specifically those who have been trained as devotees, and that training as a devotee is coming in the Sankirtan movement, you know, as coming down this line of ISKCON. As Sukadeva Goswami began his prayer by discussing the word Yat Kirtanam, I think that was in verse 15. So also Lord Chaitanya recommended that simply by glorifying the Lord's holy name, a tremendous change of heart can take place by which the complete misunderstanding between the human nations created by politicians can at once be extinguished. And after the extinction of the fire of misunderstanding, other prophets will follow. The destination is to go back home, back to Godhead, as we have several times discussed in these pages. So here Srila Prabhupada just very clearly spells out. It's not that, if you pay the devotee something, you know, we will give you some information that you're not aware of and tell you, you know, the goal that you should be, training people towards and the process, the powerful process which can push them in that direction. He just says straight out that, this is it. This is the goal. There's no secret. And it is done by glorifying the holy name of the Lord. So, one may think, well, let's just cut out the middleman. And who needs devotees? Prabhupada said it. Okay, let's just chant the holy name of the Lord and send everyone back to Godhead. So there's more. We understand that the process is there, the goal may be there, but without the devotees, there's no effect. And this is what Sukadeva Goswami is saying. He says that all of them, even so addicted to sinful acts, they can be purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord. Due to the Lord's being the supreme power, I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto him. So here he's describing that the devotees, they have this potency because they are connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it is, one who is connected to the electric supply, then, there is the flow of potency. And if one doesn't have that connection, even though everything else is there, the PowerPoint, the fittings, and, everything, the powerhouse, everything, but if there's no connection, the power is not there. So the actual potency is coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead through his devotees.
According to the cult of devotion, generally known as the Vaishnava cult, there is no bar against anyone's advancing in the matter of God realization. A Vaishnava is powerful enough to turn into a Vaishnava, even Karata, etc., as above mentioned. In the Bhagavad Gita 9.32, it is said by the Lord that there is no bar to becoming a devotee of the Lord, even for those who are low-born, or women, Shudras, or Vaishyas, and by becoming a devotee, everyone is eligible to return home back to Godhead. So, Krishna is saying that everyone is eligible to go back to Godhead. And that is the potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has that potency because he is the controller of the material energy. It is his energy. It does not belong to Shiva, it does not belong to Indra, it does not belong to the politicians, it does not belong to the bankers. The material energy belongs to Krishna, and therefore he has the potency to hold someone captive by the material energy, or to release them. That potency which he has to do that, one who is connected to that potency, Prabhu Vishnu, the potency of Vishnu, or Prabhupada, means that it is a natural potency. It's natural for God to have this power. When people, just like in America, they have on their notes, in God we trust. But actually, they don't know what is God. They have no real conception of his potencies. Therefore, when Srila Prabhupada traveled throughout the world, when he went to America, they were having so much trouble with the drug addicts, people taken to intoxication. And they were spending billions of dollars, and still to this day, on so many different programs, but they can't. It's actually growing. It's a growing problem. But Prabhupada said that God has that potency. You chant the holy names of the Lord, and they will stop their intake and intoxication. They say in God we trust, but they do not understand God has that potency. And even when it's shown to them, they don't believe it because they don't actually trust in God. They don't know what God is. So Prabhupada is saying, here's Krishna, here's God, they're chanting his name, they're giving up their sinful activities. And they're saying, oh no, this is not God, this is cult, and some crazy people doing so many things. So they do not know what is God, and they do not know the potency of God. And yet they say, trust in God. Actually, a devotee's business, Prabhupada said, that a devotee's business is to teach the Bhagavad Gita, and the whole business of the Gita, the whole topic of the Gita is what is God and how to trust him. And in the end, Krishna says, trust me. You just surrender to me. Now that's trust. You put your full trust. Surrender is you put your full trust in me, and I will protect you from all your sinful reactions. So that is, Krishna has explained what is God. I am the controller of all the different energies. Everything is emanating from me. What is God has explained? How to trust God? You surrender unto me. But they put this on the note, but it means nothing. So, the only qualification is that one takes shelter of a pure devotee of the Lord who has thorough knowledge in the transcendental science of Krishna, Bhagavad Gita, and Srimad Bhagavatam. So, the science of how to take shelter of that potency of the Supreme Lord is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. But they do not know who is God. They do not know his potencies, and therefore they will have to learn it from someone who does. That person who does is the devotee of the Lord.
see that how do we know the devotee of the Lord has that trust? Because by their life example, they are the living example of someone who understands that the Supreme Lord is present, and we put our complete trust in Him. So we see that Srila Prabhupada did that. He just put his complete and utter trust in Krishna, and which was exemplified by the way he left India at such an advanced age, and went to a foreign land with no possessions and not really any future, just somewhere to stay for about a month or something. And he just had his full trust that Krishna will, Krishna has, he had that prayer in Boston, that you brought me here for some reason, you made me dance. He was just completely trusting, he saw the people even when he got there. He looked, in the West, in the rest of the world, people's only business is to engage in activities of sinful activities. The very heart of their life is intoxication, illicit sex, gambling, and meeting. This is the very, this is what they live for on a daily basis. Their lives are built around these things. From childhood. From childhood. Just like, that Paramount's been to the races. They train them up from children, so they have traditions that some of them go into the races and some of them sit in the car park, and they have their young children, and their young children learn how, they have their little bets. They might do it, they may not necessarily, the children go up to the bookies and what have you, but they'll bet it, with the families. They will throw the 20 cents in like that, and it becomes a family tradition to every year in the Melbourne Cup, like that. So it's ingrained in them that this is what families do, is they gamble at the Melbourne Cup. So, they're trained up. So now, on television, they have these ads to try and stop children from gambling, because it's so prolific now amongst children. It's ingrained in them, from, a young age. So now there's one advertisement I saw that comes on at the news that they have this. He's about 9 or 10 year old boy, and he's running some. You can gamble from your phone. You can gamble from your laptop. You can. I heard that the Melbourne Cup, some of the races, that there were 2,000 bets coming in per second. 2,000 bets per second. Right. So they have this ad on that there's this that they the little child saying there's this wonderful betting thing for children now. Like this, and it's so readily available, and it's really easy. It's sort of designed for kids, like that. And then at the end of the ad, it says no, keep kids in betting apart. But they're having to advertise like that because children are now betting, which is not unusual. Because even when I was at school, when I, it's going back 100 years. Long time ago. But when I was in primary school, so I was about 7 or 8, so my older brother was in the class above me. He was 9 or something. His friend was the school bookie. And, the children, at playtime, some of them were playing marbles, trying to win marbles, but, others, let's put a bet on, the horse. And they'd have the racing guide. And this kid knew, his odds were the same as he knew the system. No difference between his
understanding of, you know, what was what the odds should be and everything like that. He was just excellent, you know. And he's really good. But so you could put a bet on like this. So this was, you know, Broadmeadows, of course, and Broadmeadows prime. But you know, so now of course, I mean, this is going on, you know, so many years ago. Now it's just prolific. So this is the very heart. Prabhupada was at Boston. He said, how am I going to make these people give up these activities, which is the very fabric, building blocks of their life, ingrained in them since childhood? It's their culture. You know? It's supported by the governments and everything. Prabhupada expected that they would tell him, you get back on your boat and you go back to India. That's what he was thinking. He said that. He was just thinking, you know, get out of here. I know, you know, there was Jamie Oliver who does this cooking. He's a famous cook in the world. So then he organized this ministry of food. So it's like, because he became famous, he wrote a few cookbooks. Everyone loves him because he's sort of, looking at that. So then he became really puffed up. He made this ministry of food. So he wants the whole world to follow his diet, even though he still cooks things like he'll make pakoras, you know, and a nice beer batter and stuff like that. He does all these strange things, but still he thinks he's really healthy. So he went to America. He's just telling people just a few little adjustments in their diet, you know, because in America they're all, you know, like, you know, putting on a lot of weight. And I think they're one of the most obese nations on earth. You know? And so he was trying to help them, you know, to maybe they could adjust like that. No, don't, get out of here. Get out of that country. They were really angry. He wasn't telling them to stop intoxication or illicit sex. Just to, you know, take a bit of the fat off of me. Get out of here. Go back to England. So, you know, but Srila Prabhupada, he wasn't pulling his punches. He just said, you stop the lot. Wholesale, illicit sex, gambling, meat eating, you know, intoxication. You just stop the lot. And but he was confident. You just come and chant. You know, and it actually worked. So this is the, you know, the potency of the Vaishnava. You know, how powerful is Srila Prabhupada? And he travelled all throughout the world. The full authority, the full potency of the Supreme Lord, Prabhu Vishnu. Yeah. So, it says here that anyone from any part of the world who becomes well conversant in the science of Krishna becomes a pure devotee and a spiritual master of the general mass of people who may reclaim them by purification of the heart. Though a person may be even the most sinful man, he can at once be purified by systematic contact with the pure Vaishnava. A Vaishnava can therefore accept a bona fide disciple from any part of the world without any consideration of caste and creed, and promote him by regulative principles to the status of pure Vaishnava who is transcendental to Brahminical culture. The system of caste or Varnashram Dham is no longer regular even amongst the so-called followers of the system. Now it is, nor is it now possible to re-establish the institutional function in the present context of social, political and economic revolution. Without any reference to the particular custom of a country, one can be accepted to the Vaishnava cult spiritually, and there is no hindrance in the transcendental process. So here, it is describing that, you know, one does not have to, if one takes to the Vaishnava cult, one becomes elevated above the Brahminical culture, Varnashram system. Therefore, one doesn't have to, you know, there doesn't necessarily have to be established the Varnashram system in order to make people into perfection of beings, perfect devotees who are, you know, so purified but they're able to go back to Godhead. And Prabhupada used to say, you know, when he was in America, they would describe how, you know, your disciples are not, you know, doing this and they're not doing that correctly, you know, and they point out all the little finicky Varnashram sort of things, oh, they're not doing this, not doing that. And, you know, he described that they're, you know, they're pure devotees of the Lord, and none of them came from a Varnashram background. You know, they were hippies. But Prabhupada said he liked the hippies. He liked the hippies. He liked the hippies because he noticed within them that, because the whole Varnashram system is based upon becoming detached from the material world. And all these so-called followers in India, they're quoting all this Varnashram, that, and they're just completely materialistic. And then here the hippies, they don't know anything about Varnashram, and they're lying down in the street, no blankets, no nothing, they're walking out on the family. You know, many of them are very, very wealthy, you know, coming from wealthy backgrounds. Prabhupada knows this is the essence of the Varnashram social culture, this detachment. And I see that. And you know, Srila Prabhupada mentions in the fourth canto also that actually, as we see here, descendants of the Varnashram Aryan culture who practice spiritual advancement and material detachment, they have their descendants spread all over the world, and therefore he says that you can go anywhere in the world, and some of the descendants, when they come across this Hare Krishna movement, they will just take it, because they're actually, although they're born in America, they're born in Australia, they're born in, you know, China, they actually can be descendants, you know, that they're coming in a line where this is just a natural principle to be detached. You know, externally, it may not appear so. So Srila Prabhupada was able to detect the qualities of the Varnashram, this detachment, and also the attraction to God. How just immediately, you know, you present to God, and that, yes, yes, this is what we want. So, and because there are many different cultural practices in different parts of the world, therefore, you know, we can't just turn everyone into a, you know, everyone joins the Brahmachari Ashram, you know, from the age of 5 to 25, and, you know, then they take Vanaprasa, and then when they hit 50, they all do what Maharaj Yudhisthira did, and the Pandavas, and they just leave their wife and you know, children, they just turn their back, they don't even say goodbye, they just walk out in a loincloth and head towards the Himalayas. You know, you can't introduce, you know, these principles of, you know, Varnashram in this modern day. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada, you know, he created the Brahmacharini Ashram, and he allowed the women and the men to mix freely, you know, on the principle that there's no illicit sex, of course, and what have you, you know, mixing consent gratification, but for the purposes of serving Krishna, because that is a culture in the West, you can't change it. You know, in most places of the world, you can't undo that. Women and men just mix freely. You can't just, we'll do, you know, the Varnashram system, we'll just separate them completely. It's just not going to work. You're not going to introduce it. So Srila Prabhupada understood. Now, these cultural differences may be there, but that is not a problem. Despite the cultural you know, things that are there, which are not necessarily Varnashram, if the essence of the Varnashram, which is attachment to God, detachment from the material world, if that is being applied, then the purpose is being served. So why go to so much trouble when the purpose is already being served and cause so much commotion, you know, in some country or nation, whatever. He says, by the order of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the cult of Srimad Bhagavatam or the Bhagavad Gita can be preached all over the world, reclaiming all persons
willing to accept the transcendental cult. Such cultural propaganda by the devotees will certainly be accepted by all persons who are reasonable and inquisitive. So we'll assume everyone here is reasonable and inquisitive. Without any particular bias for the custom of the country, the Vaishnava never accepts another Vaishnava on the basis of birthright. Just as he never thinks of the deity of the Lord in the temple as an idol. And to remove all doubts in this connection, Srila Sukadeva Goswami has invoked the blessings of the Lord, who is all-powerful, Prabhu Vishnadeya Namaha. As the all-powerful Lord accepts the humble service of his devotee in devotional activities of the Archana, his form as a worshipful deity in the temple, similarly the body of a pure Vaishnava changes transcendentally at once when he gives himself up to the service of the Lord and is trained by a qualified Vaishnava. One does not have to wait until one's next birth. This is what the pundits say in India. That yes, you can, you know, it says in the Bhagavatam, yes, that the Malechas and the Yavanas, you know, they chant the holy name, they can be fit even to perform Vedic Yajnas. So yes, they will have to wait till the next birth, take birth as a Brahmin. It's immediately. That is the use of the term here. Immediately, if they, as it says, one gives himself up to the service of the Lord and is trained by a qualified Vaishnava. The injunction of Vaishnava regulation in this connection runs as follows in Sanskrit. One should not consider the deity of the Lord as worshipful, the deity of the Lord as worshipped in the temple to be an idol, nor should one consider the authorized spiritual master an ordinary man, nor one should consider the pure Vaishnava to belong to a particular caste. The conclusion is that the Lord, being all-powerful, can under any and every circumstance accept anyone from any part of the world, either personally or through his bona fide manifestation as the spiritual master. Lord Chaitanya accepted many devotees from communities other than the Manasramites, and he himself declared to teach us that he does not belong to any caste or social order of life, but that he is the eternal servant of the Lord, servant of the servant of the Lord who maintains the damsels of Vrindavan, Lord Krishna. This is the way of self-realization. So I'll leave it there if anyone has any comments or questions.
You're talking about the gambling and how people get addicted, they train up from a young age. Mm. So the races are on. And the other day, so I went into the city to get a ticket so I could have the races to do our sankirtan there. And I was in the rows. I bought the ticket, there's a few people around in the office there, and then I hopped into the car, and I've been listening to all these lectures at Tamal Krishna, MP3. Just a couple of minutes after I got into the car, Tamal Krishna starts talking about how people are addicted to all these habits, like gambling. But if they meet devotees, then the material life is finished. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, just like if people see a monk on their way to the races, they should immediately go home because their material life is like finished. And I was hoping that most people, you know, that hopefully, you know, they.
Well, these days. Yeah, these days they probably go out and rub his belly and ask for good luck and hurt the races. That's what they do at Buddha, right? They put Buddha on the mantelpiece and they rub his belly for good luck and they go to the pokies. My mother does that as well. I said, Mom, can you please rub his feet? At least, you know, that's the proper thing. At least they do that. Is there any other questions?
The reason you began saying the movement was from LA to excessive pleasures life. You know, you said the movement was primarily to give people a chance, what was it, to remember right at the beginning?
To become purified and go back to God.
Yeah, well, I missed the point, it was in my head, so it just slipped through the brain. But if the generations can't see or take responsibility because they're short-lived, they like to say, well, what does it matter, you know? We're only here for a short time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how we can encourage a person to have that responsibility for the generations, you know?
As they chant Hare Krishna, the mirror of the mind becomes purified. They understand their spiritual soul, and then they begin to think that I'm only here for a short time. Doesn't mean he dreamt to be married. It means that why am I have to take birth? I mean, take death in a short time from now. I'm eternal. The chanting Hare Krishna, they begin to understand I'm not this body, I'm eternal. And yet, in a short time, I have to die again like this. So then they think in a different way. They have the same concept, but because now that thinking is based, has that foundation of the spirit soul, then they think, so yes, so let me attain my eternal, spiritual situation once again. So they're thinking the same thing, but as soon as they're thinking that, with the basis of some spirit soul, then it changes. That's what's missing. They don't understand that they're not this body. Yeah. And that therefore, everything Prabhupada says, if you do a mathematical calculation, you add 1, 1, and you say 1, 1 equals 3. And then based upon that, you add 3 to something else, and you do your mathematical calculation, you can go on for a long time, you have this. But because the original is based upon mistake, you never get the correct answer. Okay? So all the thinking is based upon that mistake. I am this body. And therefore it all leads to the wrong conclusion. And similarly, as soon as they correct that mistake from the beginning, all their thinking actually ends up in the correct answer. So this chanting Hare Krishna.
You were talking about how in the Western culture, boys and girls, men and women are like very integrated.
Mm-hmm.
And so Prabhupada realized that they couldn't really separate them, so you got a lot of married. Then Prabhupada was very proud of his grihasthas. He said, my godbrothers and sannyasis failed in coming to the West Bridge. My grihasthas have succeeded. And he was talking about the grihasthas that went to London.
Yes, because it's not a matter of grihastha or sannyasi or brahmana or sudra. It's this, Prabhupada Vishuddha Vinaya, that if we connect to the pure devotee, then the potency of the Lord will allow that person, whatever their material circumstance, to act as the devotee of the Lord and to help others become the devotees. That's what Prabhupada disciples understood. They understood if we serve Prabhupada. So they didn't try, Prabhupada's disciples and followers, they didn't spend their life running around trying to see God. They weren't studying this, let's find about Radha and Krishna and, let's do the philosophical discussions. And they understood this. If we just, Prabhupada wants something done, let's do that. He wants the rubbish taken out, we'll take the rubbish out. He wants the toilets cleaned, we'll clean the toilets. He wants books distributed, we'll do that. He wants the temples cleaned, we'll clean the temple. Whatever he wants, let's do that. And they understood that he is so dear to Krishna, it wouldn't matter what you're doing. If Prabhupada wants it, you'll get Krishna first. It doesn't matter on your externals. Therefore, I once had this it was a little strange dream, Prabhupada, I was in this dream, Prabhupada was there, and I was really sad that I couldn't really serve him, couldn't help him serve him. He had so many sannyasi disciples, and big GVCs, and temple presidents, and all that, and I was just, and I was thinking, I just wish I could do something, some service, I don't have any qualifications. Anyway, Prabhupada handed me a tin. Little tin. And like a little round tin, I kept this tin. Prabhupada allowed me to travel all around the world with it. So then wherever, so there's all these sannyasis and they come in and they give Prabhupada the news of the world. And but I'll be there because I had this little tin Prabhupada gave. And then one time they're all in the discussion and Prabhupada looks at me like this. I knew it was time for me to do my service. inside was a little brush. And I brushed Prabhupada's eyebrows and this. Prabhupada to me, the back of the tent, and sat down, listened to his lecture. I felt like $1 million. Because I had some service. And that was it. I understood, you know, anything. Give me anything to do. You're so dear, if I can have the slightest little service to do, I know that Krishna will give me his blessings. I just said all glories to Srila Prabhupada.
That's all right, you can continue. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. These races, you mentioned the Satriya races, many of them, and how they became a lecture. I wanted to ask, if Maharaj Yudhisthira being Dharmaraj, is called, how it is after losing riches and kingdom that he put a personality, his wife, on the line in a gambling match, being Dharmaraj?
Yeah, because it's actually within the Dharma of Kshatriyas to gamble, because I was hearing that this morning on my way here. Prabhupada was describing that very incident. He was saying that, for Kshatriya, their Dharma is, if they're challenged, they cannot back away from the challenge. So a gambling is like a challenge. I bet you something. So they're allowed to gamble at that. So each time they were challenged, Kshatriyas cannot, it's actually against Dharma to back away from the challenge. So, but it turned out because the other side was cheating. This is the interesting thing, is that, they spent their all their energy, and they wiped out that entire race because of the... they punished according to the laws of Dharma for the insulting Draupadi. Because they were God conscious and their mind was focused on going back to